then they get into other uses of that type of equipment. So they could branch out there, but most of the other ones were fixed on fixing a shaving machine, resharpening or putting new blades in the shaving machines and things like that. And everything was going, and that was, there's Coco, there was Coco Machine in Salem. There were a ton of machine shops, Nelsnick Machine. Mm-hmm. The Nelsnicks still live on, where our neighbors are, we lived on Newcastle Road, the Nelsnicks lived on Santa Maria Circle. And Mark used to own the liquor store in Central Street Liquors. Mark Nelsnick was the son. His father had, and I think his grandfather had Nelsnick Machine. Nelsnick Machine was where the Henry Fire site was. They were in the middle of that industrial complex in there. They lost, I think they lost their building. They lost everything. Mm. They were, you know, they weren't doing that great, but that fire killed the business. But unfortunately, that was another story. Oh, did you hear about the Henry Fire?
I did, yeah, but anything you want to add would be great.
Yeah, we were working in our shop and we heard the explosion.
Because you were, Lurbin Hasten was like across the street.
We were heading east down the railroad track. Mm-hmm. We were on the Peabody Salem line. The Henry Fire site was two blocks over, right across the street from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And we heard the explosion, but the sound reverberated out by the Harmony Grove Cemetery, so we didn't know which direction it came from. We heard the explosion and an echo. So we go out the backyard, we're looking all the way around. Then we turn around, we see the smoke, and then you know we ran down the street. And when I got to on the Walnut Street side, there was a brook that runs through the property, and there was two guys holding one man in the brook. To soothe his burns, he had been blown off the roof, and I think he had a broken leg. And his T-shirt, he had a T-shirt on, the skin on his forearms, where just the first layer of skin was just hanging off of him. And there were two guys evidently got blown off the roof. He was burned, but he didn't have any broken bones. The other guy was in the stream with a broken leg in burns. The fellow standing up was yelling for a name out. Ultimately, was the boy that he was killed in that fire. They were the roofer crew, and flames were just the building the main building was already engulfed in flames. The flames, the embers were shooting off of that building onto other buildings because it was a complex of wood sided shingled buildings. And around them, the first fire truck come on the scene, it was pretty much, where do we start shooting water? There was a pumper, and they were hooking up to a fire hydrant. And he was also calling for the injured guys. They were calling to make sure an ambulance was coming. There was a transformer station on the ground where the electrical transformers were. The embers were going into that and burning that. And I tapped the lieutenant or the captain on the shoulder, and I said, I know you got some big problems here, but that's starting to burn. And then he called the power, you know, the power company in to get them in here to shut the power off. And meantime, the heat from the fire is getting so intense you couldn't stand there anymore. We had to keep backing up. They had to get the guy, the ambulance came, and they got the guy out of the stream, got him into the ambulance, took him away with the other guy. And the fire was getting so intense that there was a dump truck that the roofing company owned that parked next to one of the buildings burst into flames. And you could hear explosions going off in the building from containers of chemicals were blowing up and barrels were blowing up, and it was getting quite intense. And then at that time I look up in the sky and everything's going towards our shop, and I said, oh boy, I better get going. So we ran back to the shop. We got back to the shop, the embers are floating through the sky.